give it all to you.
How many can say amen to that? Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Are you having a wonderful time? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. So we had our brother Josh Martin start things out for us on Wednesday, and my goodness, if that's the only service we had, you could chew on it. There's a lot of food there. Amen. And then our brother Andrew Glover followed up the next night, and another jubilee, gastronomical jubilee, right? Then last night, Brother Manuel said, the hammer. Brother Ed Hammermeister spoke for us, and my goodness, it was another wonderful service, and just boosting us up spiritually, lifting our faith up to another level. Amen. And we just so appreciate that. Well, tonight our brother Daryl Ward is going to minister for us, and we're just looking forward once again to what the Lord has for us. And Brother Daryl has been a buddy and a fellow servant in the trenches together for many years, and been with us through the thick and thin. When we had a fire here, it was Ash Wednesday, you know, fittingly, right? It was Tuesday night, and then Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and we were, Sister Baker on Tuesday night, we put our arms around each other, we arranged the chairs and, you know, put the finishing touches on, and then we got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the church was on fire, and so we were committed to continue to have the meetings, and everybody pulled together, and we scrambled, and we were able to get the Leo Rich Theater and rent instruments and all that. I think we just lost one service, Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday, and, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter what the world would call it, you know, but the devil tried to get his licks in there, but yeah, you can't outdo God. Amen. You can't burn us out. Amen. We're stronger. We're everything works together for good. Amen. Well, Brother Daryl was with us that year, and was just a real encouragement, as well as, you know, the timely ministering of the word. So we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And I'm going to get out of the way here just as quick as I can. Now, last night, I think it was said we've got a choir come up. I don't know what to call it, so we'll call it the Spanish choir, right? So I was looking for my wife. I didn't see her come up, right? You say, well, why would she? Well, 20 years ago this week, we had special meetings at the Holiday Inn, and they said, well, the choir from Trinidad's going to come up and sing. My wife came up with him. And I said, well, you know, you learn something new every day. I didn't know she's from Trinidad, but yeah. So I was looking for her last night. We're so thrilled to have the Slakta family with us tonight. Yeah? And to show you how much it means to us and how much apparently it means to the Lord, I had a dream that you were going to be here. I had a dream Thursday morning. And I woke up and I told Sister Baker there and said I had a dream, and Slakters were here in the meeting. So welcome. God bless you. Hallelujah. So Brother Kenny had taught the choir what was the name of it? He Makes a Way, or he and it was prophetic. The choir got up. I'm sorry. The choir got up and sang it with triple the inspiration, And the words, I mean, the words were just so fitting. He made a way. Right? In the midst of that. He's still a way maker. Amen? And I know He's made a way for you, so just let your faith soar tonight. Just let your faith rise. And as our brother, every one of these services, I'm going to get out of the way as quick as I can. Every one of these services has been building, and there's a theme that's running all the way through it. But Brother Josh started right out telling you there's a lot of things that are truths, right, that are lesser truths and that are scary, and you look at that and you worry about it, right? But then there is the truth, right? And there are lesser truths that maybe you don't have gas in your tank, or maybe you don't know where you're going to live next week, or whatever, right? Or there's sickness, or you got a family member. You can say, well, it's true. That's, you know, this is what's going on. But there's a greater truth. Amen. Amen. And that truth is filled with hope and faith. And amen. So we want to focus on these greater truths tonight, right? And take our minds off of the lesser truths and be in expectation. How many is in expectation? Amen. He counts the stars. Brother Daryl, as you come. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He makes the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures, great and small, He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light. My name. You believe He knows your name tonight? He knows your needs. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the
A few years ago, I was preaching in Cottonwood, Arizona, Brother Chris Long's meetings, and it was on a Saturday morning, and I was to speak, and I woke up with a absolute demon headache. My head was hurting so bad, I was literally sweating. And I got up, I was so dizzy, I put one leg in my britches and had to lay back on the bed to let the room stop to get the other leg in, and I had to preach. Brother Dale Smith called, and he said, "You want to go for some coffee?" I said, "Brother Dale, I am so sick, man." And I said, "I've got to preach." And he said, "Oh my," he said, "I'll be praying for you." So a few minutes, the knock came on the door, and I got up and opened the door, and it was Brother Dale, and he gave me a cup of coffee and prayed for me. That's his heart. So we went and preached, and the headache it went away, but when the service was over, it kind of come back, but it wasn't as bad. And Brother Chris was having a fish fry up in Flagstaff, and we'll hurry with the story. I know you're standing. But, and he said, come up after a while, and we're going to have some fish fries. Really good. And I said, well, I'm going to go lay down and rest a little bit. And he said, well, come on up. And I said, I will. So I got up, headed up towards Flagstaff, and started up 89A. I got to whining. I got to talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, do you even know I'm out here? I said, am I doing any good at all? Do you even know my name? I said, maybe I should just go home. I've been in the military, but I have never been as homesick as I was. And I think it's just because I was feeling bad. And I saw a sign that said scenic view, 1 mile. And I pulled in there, and there's a bench, and I got out sat down on that bench. And I got to talking to the Lord again, and then started whining. And I said, Lord, do you even know my name? And when I got done praying, beside me on the bench was this coin. And I picked it up, and it said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you aside for service. And I thought, he knows my name. So if you feel like God don't care for you, he knows your name. He knows everything about you. Isn't he wonderful? We greet you this evening in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to St. Mark chapter 10. We want to read from the 46th verse. May the Lord bless you. Appreciate each one coming out. Amen. While you're turning in your Bibles, we want to bring you greetings from my pastor, Brother Donnie Reagan, and the saints back home. And I want to thank the Love Divine congregation, Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer, for all that you've done for us while we've been here, and for all the labor to make this weekend possible. And may God bless you 100-fold for your efforts. Amen. And it's so wonderful to have my wife, Sister Cheryl, with me. And somebody told me, said, if you don't bring your wife next time, we don't believe you got one. I said, oh, I've got a wife. She don't get to come with me often, but it's always an extra special blessing when she does. Man, some tremendous messages last night and this week. It's just been wonderful to be here. And we've been so blessed. And it's such an honor to stand with these men, and I feel the least of all of them, but certainly appreciate Brother Doug allowing us to come. So let's read now from the Word, St. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And the Bible says this, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I love this right here. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What a blessing it is to know that the same Jesus who gave blind Bartimaeus his eyesight back is the same Jesus that gave my daughter Jessica her eyesight back. And that same Jesus is in the house tonight. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this evening on step out to your promise. And for a context out of that, I want to speak on the ABCs of your healing. Heavenly Father, as we gather here with your people, Lord, we are so grateful, dear God, for what you have done for us. For while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, as Brother Baker was speaking, dear God, of the time that they threw something through the window and set the church on fire. But Lord, I am so grateful that the fire department was able to put the fire out in the building. But divine love is still on fire, Lord. And we are grateful for that. And Father, as we have this prayer line this evening, dear God, I pray, Lord, that by that same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave, and that same anointing that gave my daughter back to me, may that same anointing move upon every heart, upon every need, upon every family. That when we leave this building, may we say, did not our hearts burn within us as they walked with us along the way. We commit this congregation and ourselves into your hands for your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the saint says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I was listening to the mighty God unveiled. And Brother Branham said, God still comes in whirlwinds to unveil himself. And when I read that, it reminded me of something that happened many years ago when I was just a young Christian and me and Cheryl hadn't been married long. And her father, the one who was killed in the accident and lived there in a little neighborhood off of Lake Crest Drive. And so there was a neighbor who had a little, like a 20 or 30 yard backyard, if you will. And so the family would go down there and play a little football, just the family. And so when I was young and played sports, I always caught the football with my fingers. And I quite often stole them up during ball games. And so I didn't want to stole my finger and it swelled and have to cut my wedding band off. We hadn't been married long. So I took it off and I gave it to Cheryl because I knew she'd take good care of it. So when the game was over and we was headed back up to the house, I said, honey, you got my wedding band? She said, didn't I give it to you? I said, no. Well, it was lost. So me and her daddy went out the next day and we took a rake and we raked this field. I mean, the field wasn't much bigger than this sanctuary right here. And we raked it and no wedding band. And Sister Jill Thompson, her name was Sister Cromer at the time. She was my first convert to the Lord because I gave my heart to the Lord when I was in college on Christmas break. And when I went back, there's such a difference in my life. And anyhow, she gave her heart to the Lord. And so she told me, she said, my daddy and mom said, we have a metal detector. She said, come by the house, you can get it. And said, you can find that wedding band with your metal detector. And I was so excited. And I went and got that metal detector and I was searching this field and no wedding ring. So I just turned it off and I got on my knees and I said, Lord, you're God. And I don't know where that wedding band is, but I know that you do. And I said, if I've done something to offend you, I'm sorry, but please don't punish me by taking my wedding band. And while I was praying and I got done and I got up and I wiped the tears off of my eyes and God is my witness, as a little whirlwind kicked up, had about 3 or 4 leaves in it. It was just barely moving and it started going right down the side of this yard and it turned and made a 90 degree turn and went right out to the middle of that yard. And we just twirling like that. And then it laid down. And I said, God, is that you? And I turned and went the other way. And just the other side of where those leaves were laying, was my wedding bed. Everybody in the neighborhood knew I found my wedding bed. Would you say, why did you say that? Because I want you to understand, if God cared enough to give me back my wedding bed, He cares enough to give you back your health. Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. Oh, isn't He wonderful? We want to speak to you for a few minutes now on step out to your promise. But now notice I didn't say a promise. I said your promise. Because you see, it's a personal revelation. For the promise isn't to you and to your children, even to afar off as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, our experience with the Lord is not, well, that's what Brother Baker says, but He wants you to have your own personal revelation. What is the new birth, Brother Branham? It's Christ revealed to you personally. So then let us come this evening with this revelation that we are not an organization. We are not a cult. We are a body. We are His body. The prophet of God said we are sons and daughters of God, sitting together in heavenly places. Right now in Christ Jesus and Him working with us. Confirming the word with signs following. Not what we will be in the millennium. We won't need healing in the millennium. Now is when we need healing. Now is when Jehovah Jireh is to provide anything that we've got need of. For we are Abraham's seed. Under the covenant. When we've entered into the battlegrounds between death and life. You say, I'm a sinner, Brother Branham. But you don't have to be a sinner. You're a sinner because you desire to be a sinner. You don't have to be. The debt's already paid. Brother Branham, I wished I could have joy. You can have it. You can have it. You're just letting Satan rob you from the privileges that Christ died for. You see, I'm an heir. It's all mine. Everything He died for belongs to me. It belongs to you. We are His children. We're heirs of it. Everything that He died for. And I say tonight, God, anoint our faith to receive what's already been given to us. For the prophet of God said, every person in this building is already healed. The price has been paid. It's yours. Brother Branham used this illustration several different times about the box of rattlesnakes. He said, what if someone came up in the morning to your door, express agent or FedEx as we would say, or Prime, you know, and they had a box of rattlesnakes and it had your name on them. Said, here you are, Brother Joel. Here you are. They're yours. You see the rattlesnakes. You know they're there. You hear the rattlesnakes. Just like you know your symptoms is here. Anybody's had back trouble knows that's true. You know your symptoms is here. He said, if you receive them, they're yours. But you don't have to take them. You can say, I don't want them. They say, but your name's on them. It says, Joel Piaskowitz. But I don't want them. I won't have them. And He will do everything He can to make you see it. He'll give you MRIs, CT scan, doctor's reports. He'll give you a case of being gay. Made myself laugh. Now, in one sense, they're yours. But in another sense, they're not. You might see all your symptoms, and the devil said, here it is. Here's your cancer. Here's your heart trouble. Here's your crippled condition. But they're not yours till you sign for them. If you refuse to sign for them, He has to take them back. I say it's time we put every sickness back on the devil. He has to take them back, the expression. He has to send them back to the one that sent them. He can stand there and argue as much as he wants to. But until you take them and sign for them, they belong to the express company. Until you sign for them. Don't sign for nothing that the devil brings you. There it is. I refuse to have it. That's right. Take it back. Have nothing to do with it. If you won't testify, you've got it. When you testify, you still have it. Your sickness, the devil keeps it with you. But refuse to testify. Say, I won't have it. No, sir. If you receive them, they're yours. But you don't have to take them. You can say, I don't want them. But your name's on them. I don't want them. But your address is on. I don't have to have them. But if you sign for, well, yeah, that's right. There's my name right there. I guess you have. Give me that diabetes. Give me that arthritis. Give me that. If you sign for them and receive them, they're yours. So I got to thinking, if that's true for a box of rattlesnakes, would it not be true if an agent from heaven comes and offers you a box? And in this box is healing. In this box is joy. In this box is peace. In this box is a revival. In this box is deliverance, redemption. It's yours. It's got your name on it. It's for you. But if you don't accept it, if you don't receive it, it goes back to the one who sent it. But if you accept it and believe it and confess it, you can have everything that's in the box. It's your personal possession. Joy is mine. Healing is mine. Victory is mine. Revival is mine. The rapture is mine. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. A personal possession. And God can only bless you as you confess that He's done it for you. He's the high priest of our confession. That's why we need to be careful what we say. He's the high priest here. He can only do for you as we accept it and believe it and confess it. Now here's just a little instruction He said, I might give to the sick. You might come here and be prayed for. You might have angels to lay hands on you. Now you're talking about a church service. If angels come down tonight and stood here in this prayer line, I guarantee you it'd be all over Facebook in just a little bit of time. Don't you know that's the truth? I'm talking about angels. Angels would come down here and you would go through the prayer line and it wouldn't be Brother Baker. It wouldn't be Brother Joel. It wouldn't be Brother Flynn. It wouldn't be some of these other brothers. It would be angels. My Lord, can you imagine that? But it'll never do you one thing. It'll never do one thing to you until first you believe it and accept it and confess it. Think about that. We put so much in, well, if I can get this brother to pray for him, it doesn't matter who prays for you. Healing is not in the prayer line. The prayer line does not heal you. What healed blind Bartimaeus? It was his faith. Amen. He's the high priest of our confession. We've got to confess it before he can witness it before God. He's the high priest there to make intercession upon our confession of what he has done for us. That's the ABCs of your healing. The ABCs of your deliverance. The ABCs of any blessing that the word of God has for you is to accept it, believe it, and confess it. And I say to you, if you can do that tonight, you will see miracles. You will see giants fall. You will see revival. Hallelujah. The angel told Brother Branham, if you can get the people to believe, nothing will stand in your way, not even cancer. Notice he just didn't say if you can get them to shout, if you can get them to scream, if you can get them to dance. I've got nothing against that. I believe in that. I've done it a few times. I really enjoy it. But he said nothing will stand in your way, not even cancer, if you can get the people to believe. Now as our story opens this evening on blind Bartimaeus, he had been blind for many years. He wasn't born that way. But something had happened to cause him to go blind. And after all the years of his blindness, he had took on the name of blind Bartimaeus, the beggar. And everyone around him thought that he would, they never thought of him in any other way other than being blind. They never ever even considered that he would ever see again. They had all come to the conclusion that blind Bartimaeus was blind. Because after all, that was his name. He made his living at a gate begging for coins. And it must have been an October cold morning. Blind Bartimaeus was getting to the gate late. Because he had dreamed all night that he could see. And the businessmen had done gone into the city and just a few tourists in those days. So what could he do? He wouldn't get a coin then. And how's he going to get something to eat? And he listened and he couldn't hear no one coming. The morning wasn't looking good. The day had gotten off to a bad start. But little did he know that this would be the last day he would have to beg for a coin because of blindness. For this was the day of his deliverance. And let me say, you may have woke up this morning depressed. You may have woke up sick. You may have woke up with a bad doctor's report. Things didn't look too good for you. The morning may have started off so bad. But I'm here to tell you by faith, today is the last day you'll have to deal with that fear. Deal with that sickness. Deal with that habit. For this day is the day of your deliverance. Do you believe it? Then confess it. Amen. When Jessica came home from the hospital, they invited Brother Billy Paul to come down and give his testimony. It was a homecoming weekend for 67 days in the hospital. And so when the service was over that Sunday morning, Brother Billy Paul was out in the parking lot, and Jessica's this little old thing, she's three. She had just turned three at that time. I had her up in my arms, and I went up to where Brother Billy Paul was, and I said, "Brother Billy, would you pray for my daughter?" And so he just took her out of my arms and put her up in his arms, and he prayed for her. And then he handed her back to me, and he told me this. I have never forgot it. He said, "Brother Darrell," he said, "Daddy always told me in every meeting, there's always one great miracle takes place." He said, "This weekend, that miracle is your daughter." But ever since he told me that, I have come with that attitude. If there's one miracle takes place in this building tonight, I say, "God, let it be me." You need to have that kind of attitude. If there's one miracle, it's for me. That's how much he loves me. He said, "But Brother Darrell, I've got a great problem." You can't have a miracle unless you've got a problem. People want signs and wonders and miracles, but nobody wants problems. But every miracle starts with a problem. "Well, Brother Darrell, I've got a problem." Then you're a candidate for a miracle. So blind Bartimaeus took his place beside the gate. And he felt around till he felt this big stone. And he sat down. And he said, "You know," he said, "this very stone that I'm sitting on now, the power of God shook it off the top of the wall of Jericho when he broke the wall down." And blind Bartimaeus said, "I'm sitting right here where God manifested his great power." He said, "Oh my, Brother Darrell, I wish I could have sat there where that great miracle took place. But I'm here to tell you, the very place you're sitting in tonight, we have seen that same God manifest himself in healings, in deliverance, in salvation." Can the church say amen? Hallelujah. The same God that done that is here with us now. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Sitting in the warm sunshine, warming himself from that cold morning, he began to think about what he was dreaming the night before. What a wonderful dream. He dreamed he could see. It was so real. You've had dreams like that where they're so real. He thought, what made me dream that? I haven't thought about sin for years. Ain't it funny how we get accustomed to our problems? I hadn't thought about sin for years. I wonder if there's a possibility that I could see again. And maybe you're wondering tonight, is there a possibility I won't need that cane anymore? Is there a possibility that old painful arthritis will leave my joints? Is there a possibility glaucoma will leave my eyes and sugar diabetes and all? Come on, somebody. Every person in here, every believer in here ought to take the word impossible out of your vocabulary. You say, how can you say that? Because Mark 9:23 said, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible to him that believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Then all things are possible. Hallelujah. You see, the dream changed his thinking of forever being blind to the possibility of seeing. And if thinking on a dream could do that, what can thinking on a promise from the Word of God can do? Knowing that the Word of God cannot fail. Now listen to me. I've got nothing against doctors. I go to doctors. If you're sick, go to a doctor. But if he can't help you, I know somebody who can. Amen. But you know, the thing about a doctor is they can be wrong. That's why it's called practicing medicine. I worked in surgery for 17 years. I saw a lot of it. And people will put so much faith in a doctor, which I've got nothing, don't misunderstand me. I've got nothing against doctors. But they'll put so much faith in a doctor, and yet he can be wrong. He can be 100% right, and I've seen that. And he can be 100% wrong, and I've seen that. And people put, well, my doctor said this, and my doctor said that. But do you realize out of 100 doctors that graduated, yours might have graduated last? And the only reason that he's a doctor is because his daddy was the dean of the medical school? Now ask me how I know that. But people put so much faith. We had a guy down home in Greenville, Tennessee. He went in for a PSA level that Brother Ed was talking about last night. And so they called him a few days later and said, sir, you need to come in. Your PSA level's through the roof. You've got cancer. He said, you need to come in. He said, well, I've got a dairy farm. I can't come in right now. So I've got to take care of these cows. They said, well, you need to come. We need to get started on it. It's crucial that we get started right away. He said, I'll be there. Just give me a couple of days. I'll be there. He wrote a note to his wife. He said, I'd rather die by my own hand than to die by cancer. And he went out into the field and he took his gun and he took his life. After the funeral, about a week or so later, the doctor's office called his wife and said they'd made a terrible mistake. The PSA level belonged to another patient. His was normal. But he believed the doctor so much that he took his own life. And I thought, if we could believe God that much, if we could believe a God who said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and God don't lie. If we could think on these things, if we could think on what the Word says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we find blind Bartimaeus sitting on a rock off the walls of Jericho, warming himself in the sun, trying to get a few pennies. He was all alone. And he got to thinking about his life. Sometimes it's good to remember. He said, I used to come here. I had a lamb and I had these turtle doves, and they would do tricks, and they would help get the attention of the people and help me get a few coins. So what happened to those doves?
Come on.
What happened to that? I remember. My wife got sick. The doctors didn't know what to do. And the story goes, he went behind the house to pray. And said, Lord, my wife's real sick. I don't know what to do. I need her, Lord. She cooks for me, washes my clothes. She puts my fork and my plate always in the same place so I can find them. Lord, don't take her from me. I need her. If you'll just let my dear, precious wife get well, I promise you, I'll take these two turtle doves and offer them for you for a sacrifice. And his wife got well. And it wasn't long after that his daughter took a fever. Perhaps she caught what her mother had. And he slipped and found his way out behind the back of the house again. And he lifted up his blinded eyes. He said, Lord, my little girl's dying. Oh, God, I've been there. My baby's dying. And I need her, Lord. I see the world through her eyes. She tells me what the flowers look like that I smelled. She tells me the images that the clouds make.
Come on. Amen.
I need her, Lord. She brings me such joy. I don't have nothing left but my lamb. But if you'll let my baby live, I promise you that I'll take my lamb and give it as a sacrifice at the altar. And this little girl got well.
Oh God.
I'll never forget the day. Around 2:30 in the afternoon. The day of the funeral when we buried Cheryl's daddy and her baby sister sitting in the waiting room. I'll never forget that day as long as I live, when that warm feeling come over me and a voice spoke to my heart and said, your daughter shall live. It changes everything. When God speaks, it changes everything. On his road up to the church to offer the sacrifice, he met the priest and said, where goest thou, blind Bartimaeus? He told the priest, I'm going to the temple of the Lord to give my lamb for a sacrifice. And the priest said, Bartimaeus, you can't give that lamb. That lamb is your eyes. Here, take this money, go buy yourself a lamb. Go down to the stalls and buy a lamb and offer it, because this lamb is your eyes. But he said, I never promised God a lamb. I promised God this lamb. Never make a promise to God unless you mean to keep it. I didn't promise him a lamb. I promised him this lamb. And he said, if I obey my promise to Jehovah, he will provide a lamb for my eyes. And sitting there, he said, what made me think that? What made me say that God will provide me a lamb? You see, God always has had a preparation for healing in all ages, at all times. And thinking of these ways of a provided lamb sitting there, what made me, why would I say something like that? But you know, God speaks some unusual ways, unusual times. And sitting there, he began to hear a noise. He couldn't see the, what's going on. Someone said, it's Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God. He's come. And when blind Bartimaeus heard that Lamb, that provided way, the Lamb of God, he began to cry out, Jesus,
amen.
Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. Someone said, hey, calm down. We don't act like that around here. If we agree with the preacher, we just nod our head. If it's real good, we throw up two fingers. You just need to calm down. You know, we're beyond all that. So, you know, being politically correct, he said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt no one or hurt you here. And please forgive me. I'll be a little bit quieter. Oh, thanks to God. Don't let the devil dampen down your faith. You need something from God. Cry out for it. So the Bible said he didn't hold his peace. He cried the louder. You don't like that, devil? Listen to this. My God is my healer. My God is my deliverer. Without him I can do nothing. But with him I can do everything. He cried the louder. That was his lamb. That was his lamb. If he could get his attention, his blindness is over. So he cried the louder. But I want you to understand, Jesus was over 150 yards away, and there's a multitude of people, some for him, some against him, all kinds of noise. Jesus never heard his physical voice. It was not his voice that stopped Jesus. It was his faith. And if his faith can stop Jesus, your faith tonight can stop him. By his faith, think of it. The faith of an insufficient beggar bum, the prophet said, that we call today a blind, dirty, ragged, sitting by a gateside begging. But he stopped the Son of God. On his way to Calvary, with the weight of the world upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. But for the need, for the sake of one blind beggar, Jesus stood still. And if his faith done that, what will your faith do tonight? It'll bring him from heaven down here to any individual, the prophet said. Jesus stood still. And they said, he stopped. He stopped. And beside that, he's calling for you. He's not calling for the crowd. He's not calling for a day. He's calling for you. The individual. Now, blind Bartimaeus was left with this decision. Either sit here on this rock or get up and come to Jesus. Now remember, he was 150 yards away from Jesus. And he's totally blind, sitting ragged, poor. And yet Jesus said, come here. Brother Branham, talking to his sister, he said, the devil, listen to this quote. The devil, he's seeing that you're just ready to receive it. And the devil said, I'll put a little damper on her. Brother Brown makes an illustration. Fan her a little. Cool her down a little bit. But oh my, when the devil tries to cool you down, when the devil tries to slow you down, when the devil tries to hold you back, that's when you rise up and claim your God-given privileges. When does the devil howl the most? When he knows he's lost the battle. You see, Satan uses reasoning against faith. Huh? How's he coming? Immediately, reasoning takes in. Reason would say, sit still. While the master's asking you to do something that you can't do. How will you know how to find Jesus in all this multitude of people? You're blind. And they're over there screaming and crying and going on. How are you going to find him? Reason says, you can't find him. There's all kinds of obstacles in the way. The doctor said this, and the doctor said that, and the MRI said this, and the CT scan said that. And there's all kinds of obstacles in your way. All kinds of people in your way. You're totally blind. Just sit still. But you see, it was his moment with Jesus. He had an audience with the master, and he couldn't let the opportunity pass by. And don't you either. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. Do not let it pass you by. Like the woman with the blood issue. She saw he was passing by. Her window of opportunity was closing. The doctors couldn't help her. Herbs couldn't help her. Essential oils. Couldn't help her. 12 long years she bled. And every time she went into town, she had to yell in humiliation, unclean! Unclean! The prophet said she spent all of her money with the doctors and they couldn't help her. But when she saw him, she knew he could help her. And I say to you tonight, he can help you. And as the healer began to go, she said, oh, he's passing by. And it was at that moment that the gears of faith began to turn. And she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. But notice who said that. Peter never said, come here. I've been in all the meetings. Now, if you want to get healed, just touch his garment. Peter never said it. Jesus never said, if you touch my garment, you'll be healed. Who said it? Who said it? She said it. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. And faith in what she said brought her, oh, glory to God, it brought her own word into manifestation. And what that woman said has become the word of God that we're reading from and talking about tonight. Hallelujah. When a son of God by faith takes the word of God into his heart, he speaks it back upon his lips. It's just the same as deity speaking. Hallelujah. Amen. I may be the oldest one preaching so far, but I feel the youngest right now. Hallelujah. She believed her own words and brought her own words into manifestation. She couldn't get over the crowd, through the crowd, so she went under the crowd. Notice, she never touched his back. She never touched his arm. She had to get down and crawl. As soon as she touched the hem of his garment, immediately, 12 years of bleeding stopped. Hallelujah. When Jessica was blind, every day I'd say, Jessica, do you see your daddy? Bless her heart, little girl. Have her on my lap. She said, no, daddy, I can't see you. I said, but you will, honey. You'll see me again. God provided a lamb for your eyes. And she'd touch my watch and she'd say, such a pretty watch. She couldn't see it. She'd take her little hand and she'd put it on my face. And she'd go, such a pretty daddy. I knew then she was blind. One day, when he passed through that hospital room, her eyes came open. It don't take a lifetime. It can take an instant. So blind Bartimaeus stepped out of reasoning. He stepped out of all the reasons as why he should not get up off that rock. That he was sitting on. You're blind. You're 150 yards away. Can you trust the people to take you to Jesus? He will take you back behind the house and rob you. He'll rob a beggar, right? And all the noise and all the crowd. You don't even know exactly where he's standing. All those, listen to me. Every one of those was a valid reason to why he should just sit still. You see, reasoning will have you sit still. But faith goes into action. This is my day. This is my time. This is my opportunity. I cannot miss my opportunity. And blind Bartimaeus gets up and goes to Jesus by faith. Why? Because Jesus said come. And if Jesus said come, oh, think about this. If Jesus said come, the way has already been provided for him to get there. And if Jesus is calling for you tonight, the way has already been provided for you. Just step out to your promise. That's what we need in this building tonight, is for faith to take action. It's not enough to say, I believe it. The devil believes and trembles. It's not enough to say, I believe. We must act upon it. How do we know Noah believed God when he said it's going to rain? Because he acted upon what God told him. You must accept it, believe it, and confess it. Huh? How do we know that Joshua believed those walls would come down? When he said, march around the walls, blow a trumpet, let out a shout, and walls 80 foot high, 40 foot thick, they're going to fall down. Really? Really? Do I need a bulldozer? No. Backhoe? No. Case of dynamite? No. Just march, blow a trumpet, shout, the walls are going to come down. How simple. God hides and reveals himself in simplicity. Joshua believed that the walls would come down. Oh, I like this right here. And they shouted the victory before one rock ever fell. And if you believe that this is your promise, this is your night, you can start shouting right now. Hallelujah. You can start praising God right now. Lord, I believe what you say to me. I believe it, Lord. Faith jumps and leaps no matter where he is. If you bid me to come, I'm going. There you are. That's when you're getting faith. Give your faith a chance. Turn loose. Unbridle it. Let it work. You've got it all bound up with traditions. Well, I've got to tell the preacher what's wrong with me. God knows what's wrong with you. There's times you have to tell the preacher, but there's times you can just say, Lord, you know what it is. Turn it loose. Cut it loose. Let God have his way with you. You know, we sing this song, let go and let God have his wonderful way. And then we try to tell him what to do. You see, somebody words right. Either what you're looking at or what God says. God's word is true. I believe it. And the Bible said that he got up and casting away his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, why is that put in the Bible? Why is that so significant? Because you see, I was reading, and some scholars say that this garment was recognized by the government. It's like a permission or a license to beg. So you could tell by the garment he was wearing that he was blind. So the garment he was wearing identified him as a blind beggar. And when Jesus said come, he got up and cast off the garment, leaving it on the ground. What did it indicate? It indicated how much he believed that Jesus would restore his sight. Oh, brother, sister, tonight, can you leave that depression robe? Can you leave that besetting sin robe? Can you leave that arthritis robe, that pain robe, that eye trouble, that fear trouble? Can you leave it on the ground? And step toward your promise. Cast off that condemnation robe. If you ask God to forgive you, he's just to forgive you. Why are you carrying that old, well, I made a mistake. Who hasn't? God don't see how many times we fall. He just sees how many times we get up. Amen. Preach, I'm trying to. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee. Now, do you think Jesus really didn't know what he needed? But he was wanting him. For out of your own mouth you shall be justified, and out of your own mouth you shall be condemned. What do you want me to do? And I say to you tonight, as we're coming down to a close, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want? Salvation of your children? Salvation of your wife? Restoration of your marriage? Healing in your body? A revival in your soul? What do you need? Why are you here? Why did we come tonight? You think he didn't know we would be here? He knew you would be here. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you would be here. He knew what you would be wearing. He knows what you're thinking right now. So how many of us are sick tonight? You have a need. You want to be healed. You want to be helped. How many has a need tonight? Don't be ashamed. You got a need, brother. I've got a problem. Every miracle begins with a problem. So you raise your hand saying, you want to be, do you really want to be healed? How many really wants to be healed? Amen. Well, there's a few of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You say, well, why did you ask that? Because this quote, listen, the prophet said this. He said, he, speaking of God, God wants to heal you tonight 1,000 times more than you want to be healed. Now, you are willing to raise your hand to let everybody see that you've got a problem. Because you want to be helped. And no matter how much you want to be helped tonight, God wants to help you 1,000 times more than that. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I'm not asking for a new car, for a new home. I just want to see. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. What made him whole? His faith. And the Bible says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I believe I would have too. But notice, he never picked his coat up again. Because when you ain't blind, you don't need a beggar's robe. Amen. He called unto him. And I say to you tonight, he's calling unto you. He called him out of the crowd. He had to step out of the crowd to the promise. And he does the same thing tonight. The master has come and he calls for you. And when he called him, he gave him back his sight. Listen to me as I close. I don't know how long I've been, but I didn't want to be long tonight. But listen, when he comes, don't be afraid to step out. When he calls for you, when he calls to you, if the word is speaking to you, he's calling to you. When he calls for you, he's got something for you. Think about this. Blind Bartimaeus, standing there, looking at his hands for the first time. Such a long time. I don't remember that brown spot being there. They wasn't quite as wrinkled. He was looking at not what was, but what is. The reality of his healing. The promised word made flesh. For Isaiah said, when he comes, the blind receive their sight. And if the Lord Jesus can heal one person, He can heal all people. And the only thing that you have to know is this, to believe His presence is here, to believe that He is here to help you. And if you believe that and will accept that, then He can help you. And I trust now that you'll do that, each one of you. Will be reverent and believe on Him, the prophet said, with all of your heart. The Master has come and He's calling for you. He's calling you back to health. He's calling you back to joy. He's calling you back to peace. He's calling you back to Himself. Don't be afraid to sign for it. Accept it. Believe it. And confess it. Jesus died to heal us. Every one of you is healed. Every one of you is healed right now. Jesus has already healed you. You just have to confess it and believe it. That's right. By His stripes, past tense, you were healed. He did it at Calvary. That's when He overcome all sickness and sin and all is at Calvary for you. Just like a table set there. It's like last night when we went over there and everything was already provided. All you had to do was to eat. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Here a while back, me and Cheryl and Jessica was in a restaurant. And the waitress came by. Musicians come. We're closing. We're going to have a prayer line. And the waitress come by and she said, will there be anything else? And I said, no ma'am, just a ticket. She said, well, said somebody saw you in here and they paid for your meal. I said, well, let me leave a tip. She said, no, tip and everything has been took care of. So if there's nothing else, you can go. Now, I could have done one or two things. I could have argued. I could have debated. I could have said, ma'am, I don't see nobody in this restaurant that I know. Are you sure you're talking about me? We do that so many times to the Lord. I could have argued. I could have debated. Yeah, but my symptom, I've got the worst case. I could have argued. I could have debated. I could have tried to figure it out. Who done it? Or I could have even said, ma'am, you want me to get up and go out that door so that alarm go off and go ding, ding, ding. He stole a steak! I said, or I could accept the fact that somebody cared enough for me to already pay for my meal. And I could walk out that door with a belly full of steak. So what do you think I did? What do you think I did? The same thing I'm asking you to do tonight. Is to accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. To accept that He's already paid the price. For that cold, for that runny nose, He's already paid the price. For that flu, He's already paid the price. For that glaucoma, He's already paid the price. Amen. The only thing you have to do is eat. You have to accept it and believe it in your heart and confess it. And He's the high priest of your confession. But the first time you testify of your sickness, it brings it right back down to that rim again. But I say to you now, refuse to sign for that sickness. And accept what Jesus has done for you. Do you love Him tonight? Amen. Do you believe Him tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is here. Oh, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Oh, you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is here. I reach my hands to the heaven, lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Freedom is here. Oh, freedom is here. Freedom is here. And I receive. I reach my head. Can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Oh, you are the God of all power. Yes, you are, Lord. And it is your will that my life is as we get ready. I just want to give you a little bit of instruction. You might come through this line tonight to be prayed for. You might have angels to try to lay hands on you. But it'll never do you one thing until first you believe it and accept it and confess it. Now we're going to have a fast line tonight. Because you see, he's the high priest of our confession. We've got to confess it first before he can witness it before God. For he's the high priest there to make intercession upon our confession of what he's done for us. Just sign your name tonight to every promise of God. To that swollen foot from those bone spurs. To that glaucoma. You see, when Christ died, you know what he did? The prophet said he gave you a checkbook when you become his child. And at the bottom of every check, it's got Jesus' name. And the only thing you have to do is co-sign this check with him. Sure. You're not afraid that he won't keep his word. The bank of heaven won't honor it. Ask the Father anything in my name and I'll do it. What a promise. You can put your name on the check with him tonight. By his stripes, I was healed. 1900 years ago, by his stripes. He's got his name signed at the bottom of every one in his own blood. And the Father will recognize the check. I was in Mexico and a man came up with a diabetic ulcer. He pulled up his pants leg. The ulcer had ate till I could see the bone. And it's going to amputate his leg. And that night I preached on the bride's checkbook. And I said, what I just read to you, Jesus has already signed the check in his blood. You just sign your name to it. And he came up to me and he said, the doctor wants to take off my leg. He said, but tonight I want to write a check for the healing of my leg. We prayed for the brother, and about a month later, I was back down there. He come running up to me, pulled up his pants leg. It was completely healed. The only thing left was the dark spot to where the ulcer had been. Sister Betty up in Pennsylvania had glaucoma. It was so bad that the lights hurt her eyes. She had to wear sunglasses inside. She came up on Monday. She was to go see an eye specialist. And she said, I want God to heal my eyes so I can see to come to church. And the saints of God prayed for Sister Betty. She went to the eye doctor on Monday. The doctor said, whoever sent you here needs their eyes examined. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. Oh, friends, don't you tell me he can't do it. Brother Chester called me one day. I was out in the field working. He said, Brother Darrell, my grandson's being diagnosed with an incurable skin disease. Said he's broke off with a rash from the head to his feet. Said it's terrible, Brother Darrell. He said, would you agree with me in prayer that God will do something for him? I said, yes, let's just pray together. And we prayed. A couple of days later, he called me back. I said, hello. He goes, oh, Brother Darrell, he's got brand new baby skin. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen cancers disappear. I've seen blinded eyes come open. I've seen the lame get up out of a wheelchair and walk. Hallelujah. I've seen tumors fall off. I've seen the dead raised. There's nothing that my God can't do. He is my healer. And tonight when you come through this line, I want you to do what blind Bartimaeus did. When you walk up here, whatever that robe is that you're carrying, whatever sickness, whatever fear, whatever depression, whatever it is tonight, you drop it right there. You drop it just like he did. And you go through that line and let the brothers pray for you. And when you get to the other side, you thank God for your healing. Accept it, believe it, and confess it. If you do that, I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, you will see miracles. Do you love him tonight? Do you believe him tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. This evening. Amen. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. Father God, tonight, Lord, just a little way of drama, just to try to bring something to the people, Lord. God, I realize, Lord, I can't preach like these other brothers, Lord. But Lord, in my own way, I've tried, dear God, to get out of the way to express to these people that you are our healer and the sustainer of our lives. And oh God, thou knowest true, Lord. I've had nothing to do with it. I'm just a witness. I was just there when it happened. But God, I've seen you do so many things. You're a God who cannot fail. And Lord, tonight I speak the name of Jesus over every person in this building. And I say to Satan, Satan, you have lost the battle. My Lord defeated you at Calvary. Come out of the people and torment them no more. You're nothing but a bluff. You're defeated tonight. The blood of the Lamb of God has defeated you at Calvary. He broke your back. You have no hold on us. You are not a part of us, and we are not a part of you. And we rebuke you tonight in the name of Jesus. We say, let God's people go. We cast off those robes tonight. We're not wearing them no more. We're not signing for it no more. My God is my healer. My God is my deliverer. I speak that name of Jesus for the glory of God tonight. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's just sing that. You sung it last, brother. Speak the name of Jesus. Let's just sing it as they get ready for the prayer line. As the deacons, however you want to do it. Amen. Can we just worship him just for a moment now when we start the line? Do you believe him? Oh my. Oh my.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to bring. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Shine through the shadows, burn high.
I've tried everything to quit drinking. I've been through the 9-step program so many times, I think she said. She said, I cannot stop drinking. I said, sis, have you tried Jesus? I said, you leave that alcohol right here and you take your freedom and you leave free. I began to pray for her. She began to scream, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! You know who I'm talking about? I saw her just a few years ago. She came up to me. She said, Brother Darrell, I'm still sober. What men can't do, what programs can't do, what science can't do, my God can. Hallelujah. love him tonight. Amen. Let's just sing this just for a minute and then we'll leave. Let whoever takes over, takes over. But let's just sing it tonight. Go ahead, brother. You know I can't sing. Let's stay. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we just worship him for a minute? Amen.
I know what it's like. Time stood still, and bodies were healed, hallelujah, and families restored. Because we stayed. In the presence of the Lord, no one had to say a word. Couldn't even make a sound. But I'd give up this treasure I found. So I stay. I don't want you to go.
just walk out that door accepting what he did for you. He will make your body obey your confession. When I went back to work, I was working at that time when Jessica was hurt. I was off for several months, and we went back to work, and some of the doctors who had told me there was no hope for Jessica, and we might as well just, she had a wound cut on the side of her head. You could see her skull. And I asked a friend of mine, Dr. Mark, I said, Mark, would you sew that up? And he told me, he said, there's no use to do that, Brother Darrell. She's not going to live. There's just no use to do that. And they didn't. And it actually granulated in. And even today, you can pull her hair back and see that big white scar there where the glass had cut her on the side of the head. And when I went back to work, she was walking and she was talking and she was seeing and she was playing with her dolls. And they told me, they said, you know, we was worried about you. Because we were seeing all these reports and you were saying she's going to do this and she's going to do that. They said, we felt like you had a nervous breakdown. We thought you had lost your mind. And I said, I did. I got the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ tonight says, you are healed. God bless you, saints. Amen.